Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This ball sends it over to Edward Robles. Go and Sir Dame FC!
What is up, everybody? My name is Hector Flores, host of Insert Name FC. And with me, as always, is the other host of the show, Edward Robles.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Episode 14.
The Mascherano episode. Yeah.
Good save. Good save. Definitely not fucking Chicharito.
Hell no.
Fuck that guy.
Hey, I mean, Mascherano to me, that's badass. Badass defender. When he was playing center defensive mid on Liverpool game with Liverpool. Awesome.
But I mean, what about Thierry Henry?
Oh, shit. Okay. Never mind. Take it back. You got it. You got it.
The only thing that's great about Arsenal.
Yeah, right. Hey, what about Ozil? Ozil, huh?
Well, he hasn't. Well, he saved Gunnar Sars. Anyways, so we have another great show. At least in my opinion, it is, but I'm biased.
Ooh.
But we have some headlines. We got game recaps. Obviously, announcing our players of the week. Some game previews, rivalry edition, and of course, we will be previewing the Liga MX final, which, if you guys haven't been keeping up with it, you guys have been missing out on some drama, because
that was
a great way to finish, and hopefully it ends even better. And of course, also previewing the MLS Cup final with our good friend, Andrew from Kicking It Drew with SC, will be with us to preview the MLS Cup final.
That boy Drew.
So it's going to be a really good show. And then, of course, wrap things up with three up, three down with a topic that when we have these rivalry games could end up being some fuel for us in any future bet. If anybody knows how we do our bets.
I'm paying really close attention to this.
So anyways,
just
man. So
it's a tie.
So, okay. I'm going to get into my soapbox because I just have to do it.
All right, here we go. Everybody buckle up.
Jesus, what the fuck, man? Like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? Like,
buckle up, guys.
Like seriously, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? All right. Okay, I mean, there's...
That bleep button's gonna
there's
get
nothing.
Out, bro.
We don't have a bleep button.
Oh, okay.
What is this team doing? Like, what is this front office doing that has shown, like, hey, we care about the fans? Like, what have they done? They don't read... Literally, they don't read the social media comments, for one. Because...
Apparently.
One, they still went with the logo renewal. The rebrand. Not only did they rebrand the Dynamo, but they also rebranded the Dash. But I do like the Dash.
Dash one grew on me.
It's a miss. It's like one of those where, like, it's good. Could have been done better. But compared to the Dynamo. And then also, Houston Dynamo FC. Why? Why did you add FC to it? What? Is there the Houston Dynamo basketball team? Is there the Houston Dynamo gymnastics team? Like, is there another Houston Dynamo that we don't know of that we have to, like, specify that, hey, it's a football... And people don't even... America.
We're not patrocinados by freaking Dynamo Kiev. That's why we got to be Houston Dynamo FC. You know, kind of like the New
York
Red
Bulls.
But
even then...
Yeah, I know.
It seems so pointless. Like, Houston Dynamo Football Club. Like, it's not even football here. Like, in the United States, it's soccer. No offense to anybody that's dedicated to calling it football. I know Dominic Rich is definitely one of those guys that calls it football. But one, it just wasn't necessary. Like, Houston Dynamo, it's already there. You're just adding two extra things to say, whether you do it initially
to make
or
it fancy to make it look
legitimate. Houston yeah, Dynamo Football Club.
I would be surprised if behind the football club they have a.
If this is an insert name FC, as it gets, then I don't know what the fuck it is.
Right? Holy shite!
This is literally insert name FC.
Oh my gosh! I don't even know what to say anymore.
So the fans clearly have said that they don't like the logo. They went on with the logo. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got Stuart Holden. They got Trey the True. They got got people all behind it. And I like the attempt. I will say, at first I thought the hexagon shape was kind of stupid, but now when they explained what the meaning was, obviously the six sides of Houston.
Right.
You know, obviously like Houston is a very large. So I like some of the symbolism that the logo has, but it still sucks.
Yeah, I agree. It's like I said, I didn't like
it. So fans told you they didn't like it. They went on with it anyways. So like I said, they're probably just not reading the comments on their Instagram or like just the replies on their Twitter.
I feel like their Twitter person or their Instagram person is probably one of those automated robots. Hi, thank you for commenting.
You mean Becky G's Instagram page?
You would know, huh?
I'm so hurt by that. Anyways.
We love you, Becky G. No worries.
But aside, okay, I can live. Obviously, I got to see this in a jersey. Though it's one thing for the logo, but now maybe it looks better in a jersey. Because I will say, in some clothing, the logo kind of looks kind of cool, depending how you work it. Now this isn't honestly on the Dynamo at this point. This is up to Adidas. So Adidas, if you fuck this up, you're going to make me hate this logo even more. Just putting that out there. But the thing that like really, that thing really wasn't as massively as bad. Because I think you can maybe say like, okay, it's more of a modern look. Maybe it's going to grow on you, the logo. But you re-signed Matt Jordan to 1 year. The man has been the general manager for the Houston Dynamo for 6 years. 6 years, only one playoff appearance, which granted, they went all the way to the Western Conference Finals. But a U.S. Open Cup. Okay, cool. But aside from that, have not been in the playoffs.
What? Maybe it's a rebuilding year.
6 years of a rebuild? 6 years.
I can't defend that.
6 years. Technically four managers, if you really think about it, because Matt Jordan came in near the end of Dominic Kinnear's career.
Yeah.
Because at one point, the guy that was slash general manager slash coach was Dominic Kinnear. He was running things, and last time I checked, when under his time, they were actually winning things and going to the playoffs and making it four MLS Cup appearances, two MLS Cups under Dominic Kinnear's reign as general manager and head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Ever since Matt Jordan taken over, they have gone down to shit. And I mean, obviously, then you went to Owen Coyle. Horrible decision, by the way. This is a guy that couldn't even cut it in the second division in England. So who would have thought he would have done well in the MLS? Then you went to Wilmer Cabrera, which I had no problem with Wilmer Cabrera, but I knew he was losing the locker room, especially in that second season. So I kind of figured, you know what, might as well take your L for that. And now you're with Tab Ramos, and I was hoping that they would let, you know, hey, last time we let the head coach make more decisions in the process of signing players, we were a pretty good club. Nope. They decided to keep Matt Jordan for 1 year. For some reason, they thought, hey, you know, hey, it's the 7 year bump. Maybe this is where he proves his worth.
Seven is a lucky number. They must be thinking with that kind of mentality.
It sucks, man. It sucks. I mean, maybe he's motivated because he knows that he, you know, this is it. All I got to do is do my job, which clearly he hasn't done for like the last six seasons.
Or he could be just, he managed to coax them out of one more year and he's basically going to stuff his pockets as much as
he
can.
He must be like a smooth operator. He must be smooth.
Think about it. Sons of Anarchy, look at Clay. When he was already figuring out that he wasn't going to be the president of the club no more, he went into the cartel. What's up? He was trying to cash out as soon as he could, as much as he could. That's what he's trying to do.
I guess there's that. But yeah, so the Houston Dynamo, the fact that Matt Jordan is going to be back, I feel like there's going to be a lot of, all right, so the rumor is that they're going to be selling Mauro Manotas to Cholos of Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. I mean, we're going to have to move on from Aaron Mendoza anyways. So that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Aww.
So, unfortunately, he had a very terrible 2020 season. He only scored like 4 goals, I think. So
can't really blame him though.
So I mean, entirely. if anything, they'll probably get like $4 million for him, which isn't that bad since he really didn't cost them anything to bring him to the Houston Dynamo. So there's that. At least they didn't botch that up as much as they did with Albert Feliz, where they actually lost more than they actually gained from that transfer. Yeah. But I mean, hopefully Matt Jordan just listens to whatever Tab Ramos tells him and just let Tab Ramos make these sound decisions. I do trust Tab Ramos, and that's the only thing that's having me have some sort of faith with the Houston Dynamo, because I like Tab Ramos. I know what he can do as far as developing youth. I know that he can actually, as a matter of fact, the Youth Academy has won a Rayados youth tournament for U17 and U15 recently. So clearly the Youth Academy is doing something.
Yeah.
Probably not because of Tab Ramos. I mean, obviously this has to have done something within time, and maybe they just have a pretty decent talent pool. And I mean, they have signed some players from the Youth Academy now, so there is more guys choosing to play for the Dynamo versus going to college, which sounds terrible for me saying that as a positive. But at least in the youth side, I believe that Tab Ramos can do something there. I just hope that Matt Jordan doesn't fuck it up too much to where Tab Ramos is going to be kind of similar to Wilmer Cabrera. He just doesn't get enough time and then gets fired, and then Houston misses out on honestly a great opportunity of having one of the best managers, in my opinion, because I do think Tab Ramos is really that good.
That's interesting. Makes me think a lot about that. Because that way, at least if they do, kind of like how they do it in Europe, they let the coach actually be like, hey, I want that player. And they're like, all right, go ahead, sign.
That's all I need, man. That's all I need. Just pointing it out there, last time the Dynamo have been fairly successful was when Dominic Kinnear was the general manager and head coach of the Houston Dynamo. I mean, you know, learn from history. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, Gabriel Brenner and Oscar De La Hoya. Learn from history.
You're one has too many punches to the head.
But I will say, man, this is a proven year for Matt Jordan. He's had failure for 6 years. Apparently, Walker is giving him, okay, COVID happened, so you get this chat. Which is stupid. Which is very stupid. I mean, I want to slap Walker.
Everyone deserves a 7th chance. You know, 7th year.
Jesus Christ, man. I mean, shoot, man. There's people that have been cheated on that haven't given this many chances to somebody.
Right, shit.
Like, good God. But thank God for the Dash. I'll just say that. Thank God for the Houston Dash. Their logo looks pretty cool. I can't wait to see what they do with their jerseys. I think they have more of a variety of opportunities with their jersey setup, especially because they're with Nike. Just putting that out there.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I mean, obviously I'm excited because, you know, you're going to have Rachel Daly back. You're going to have Shea Groom. You're going to have Jane Camp. That team is fun. That's just, Christy Mew is doing her thing with the U.S. Women's National Team as well, scoring a goal against Holland. So I'm just happy for the Houston Dash.
There you go.
We're going to be women.
There you go.
We're going to love women's soccer here. I've been doing a lot of holding. I've been holding it down for women's soccer lately. So
You have been, bro.
So thank God for the Houston Dash.
All right. Well, let's move on to the headlines.
All right, man. So the first headline, speaking of people that want people to come to their teams.
Yeah.
Neymar, because we know how not vocal he is.
Oh, man. No.
Neymar has stated that he wants Messi to join PSG.
Yep.
And he, as a matter of fact, he is actually willing to renew his contract if PSG can bring Messi in this summer, which isn't that far-fetched of an idea. Messi will be off contract, so he will be a free transfer. So all they really would have to do is just make sure they set up his wages. And, you know, honestly, it's pretty realistic that it could happen. PSG does have the money for it. You talked about this last week that PSG realistically is the team that can make a super team, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
And so could this be the beginning of the super team? Can PSG finally take that next step from just being the team that wins Ligue 1 and
actually wins the Champions
League? Actually wins the Champions League.
Because, I mean, last year they were in the final. Last Champions League, they were in the final.
I kind of throw an asterisk on it, but...
Well, I mean, yeah, but still, think about it. For example, I mean, you know, I brought it up. What if, you know, Ramos is also you know, he's coming out of Real Madrid. And I don't think he's renewed his contract yet. What he's walking out with, like, what, 30 mil? Like,
honestly, I don't know, but I just know, yeah, Sergio Ramos, and this is last year.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure at this point, Cristiano Ronaldo is
he's probably done with Juventus. He's contemplating on leaving Juventus as well. He's thinking about it, but at the same time, he's like, you know, he's having his success. He's enjoying playing, but you know, if PSG has the money, I mean, think about it. If they sell Mbappe to Real Madrid, that's going to be a buttload of money. They can afford Ronaldo.
I think Paris would be very enticing to Ronaldo. And I just think mainly just because of, I mean, no offense to Turin, but I mean, it's not Paris, France.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's an enticing move. I think it'll be something that he would love, especially for his wife, who I believe is some sort of fashion
person.
Not a model, but I know she works with some fashion brand.
Fashion stuff.
Yeah. So I mean, Paris, probably a fashion capital. I don't really know. I'm not a fashion person.
Yeah, I can tell. But
coming from you, bro, we're literally dressed up in the same. We're literally wearing the same exact fucking thing.
I'm wearing joggers, sir.
And sweatpants with sandals.
And joggers is sweatpants with the tiny little thing on the ankle. Anyways, what I'm saying is, if Messi goes, and think about it, if Ramos goes, don't you think that would entice Ronaldo to go? And then you got Neymar, so that would be a deadly trident. Right there.
Is this basically the Miami Heat? Like LeBron James, D Wade, and freaking Chris Bosh?
Bro, that's what I'm thinking. Like, it can happen.
Are we going to see Cristiano Ronaldo like in a podium and like, we're not going to win one, we're not going to win two, we're not going to win three, not four, five championships?
but that's the thing though. Wouldn't you want to see that happen? Messi and Ronaldo in the same team? Not playing against each other, but
it'd be interesting because it's like finally the rivalry has now.
It's not they. It hasn't ended, but if anything, I feel like they would actually push each other because then they would try to score as many goals as they could on their side, or maybe even assist, or you know, try to do most of it. They would actually. They have the capacity to carry the team. Even
I honestly think it could happen. Messi can literally do whatever the fuck he wants. I know Barcelona is trying to entice him. Like I said, we use the analogy where it's like, oh, you know, like it's the ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend trying to make their last try.
They're trying, and they really are trying.
Yeah, and it's not really working that well.
No, it isn't. And the thing is, I was going to say,
Messi at this point is just looking at them like, look, it's been a great run. It really has. We've had our moments. We've won some championships. We've won some Champions Leagues. You've given me a few golden balls, but... it's time for me to move on. It's time.
Well, what I was going to say is, I think if somehow, some way, PSG can cement the contract details between now and January, if they can just cement that and he agrees and everything, and finally he just says, okay, I am going to go, but I'm just going to wait for my contract to be over. That's it. It's all said and done. You can't really stop him at that point.
I totally agree. All right, man. So let's go into Millwall and yikes.
Yikes.
Whoa.
I want to say double yikes.
This is like the yikes of the highest order at this point.
Oh, sure.
Like, I mean, you know, okay. I'm not saying that we advanced at the battle of racism because let's face it, that's a never ending battle. As long as there's people that are racist, racism is going to be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But good God. Like, so. For those of you that don't know about Millwall, which is funny how this team is also a team mentioned in the movie Green Street Hooligans, which was the rival team to West Ham. But so Millwall allowed fans to finally come into the games, which this is second division England. This isn't like EPL or anything like that. This is a championship. And so Millwall allowed their fans to come to the games now, obviously within standing, you know, with certain reasons, obviously social distancing and all that because COVID is still a thing. And obviously, if you've been watching soccer since, you know, the George Floyd incident, there has been a lot of taking a knee before the whistle's blown. So it's not doesn't affect the game in any way. They just take a knee and then they go and play the game. So they've been doing this for a while. So everybody should know this is the routine now. Apparently, Bill Walton didn't like it. They started booing them when they took the knee. And yeah, I think us as a society, this involves all of us because you know what? We're society.
Yeah.
We took like at least like 20 steps back. Like, I mean.
Yeah, that was bad. I can't believe that actually happened. Like, I was surprised.
It was bad. And it was so bad that the fact that Millwall even stated that they were dismayed and saddened by the fans booing. Because I mean, what do you say at this point? Like, those are your supporters.
You can't defend them.
You can't defend your supporters, which is funny enough because you know you try to support your supporters, but this is a moment where you're like, it's like you're in a moo moment. You're in a moo point with your fans.
You really can.
And I mean, so obviously this was against Derby. Wayne Rooney's club, Derby. He did say some things about Millwall. Obviously, he wasn't happy about that because clearly. We took a few, like once again, we took multiple steps back right here, right now because of that. But obviously also a player, Colin Kazim Richards from Derby, also viewed this as an absolute disgrace, which honestly is a very fitting set of combination of words for how I feel about this. Because obviously we talk about how soccer is the beautiful game where multiple cultures get multiple cultures, multiple backgrounds, multiple languages. It's a universal language, like, all you need is a soccer ball and a field, and you just go at it. Like,
yeah,
it's one of those things where you may not know what the language that person speaks, but the fact that you play the same game, the game is still the same thing.
All you need is a couple of words to even understand a person. You either pass, shoot, pass,
and shoot, even then, sometimes it means pat your chest or wave, let them know you're open.
They are like, hey, and that's it.
And everybody can say hey. So
yeah.
So I mean. It's so crazy how diverse this sport is, and then
to see something,
and
like
then
that.
You still have this, and I mean we've seen it. Obviously, we know about Portugal, the incidents that have happened in Portugal where you have fans yelling out "monkey" to players. We've seen the issues. We saw what happened in FC Dallas where they booed the players for taking a knee during the national anthem.
Yeah,
we know that the sport isn't perfect. Which is ironic how massive internationally this sport is, and yet we still have this issue. And because of it, once again, this is one of those moments when the beautiful game just doesn't become isn't as beautiful as we think it is.
It becomes like something like this, something where we just look at it and we're like, "Fuck, that's a disgrace." We can't even think of what we would do at this point because you're like thinking you don't think anybody's gonna boo when you're taking a knee and stuff and. Especially because it's a moment of silence.
Especially with the fact that you've been doing this all year, but clearly this is the first time you're doing it with fans.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, and that's when the other thing is just like, well, you guys been seeing us do this. Like, I mean, this isn't new. I mean,
does that mean that they were booing at the TV when it happened?
It has to be.
When they were watching?
It has to be. Or just some bloke over there was just saying like, we're going to boo them as soon as we see them.
It's just...
But, It seems very fitting that Millwall, the said villains of Green Street Hooligans, are the ones booing. There's some comedy in there, and in irony. There's always some comedy and irony. And I know that this is probably poor timing for me, but it is disgraceful, and it's just poorly timed by Millwall and their fan. I mean, Millwall obviously they can't really. They're kind of stuck with what they're.
They can't castigate like, their fans, and they can't.
Do you just not let fans come in for the next game, or like how do you do? Like, what do you do from this?
I have no idea. I would actually feel like looking at the Millwall Twitter. Maybe I can find something there and see if they actually said anything about it.
But, so we'll see what happens, man. I'm sure.
We'll see.
I'm sure Millwall is just like us. Yikes.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is, man. So let's transition to some recap, man. Edward, what is your game to recap this week?
My game to recap is the Juventus versus Torino game.
You know, I just got to point this out. It's funny how you say Juventus and then I'm the one that says Juventus.
I did not even notice that.
You never notice, like, me and you have, like, say it a lot differently from
Juventus.
Each other?
Juventus. I usually say Juventus.
Yeah, you say Juventus and then I say Juventus.
I've never ever thought about it, bro. Honestly, I've never have. Like, it just never bothered me. So, Juventus, or as Hector would say, Juventus beat Torino by 2-1.
And you know, I will say this game was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Because we previewed this game last week.
I know. We previewed it because I wanted to, because I'm like, hey, this is the Turin Clásico. You know, like this is it. The Turin Derby. I don't know what they call it.
I don't know what they call it.
Yeah. But Juventus had 65% of the possession. So for them to win 2-1, you would think, wait, that doesn't sound right. You're right. It's not. So Turin actually, what you like that little
it's
segue?
Not.
You like that little segue I just did? Yeah, you like that. Yeah.
Not so fast.
Exactly. I fucking turned it into an episode of Dragon Ball Z over here. You're like, wait, what? No. And then like just kept going. But anyways, Juventus actually outshot them 17-7. So that's just like, okay, you would think Juventus would score a hell of a lot more. No, literally 2-1. And it wasn't even like a 2-1 where they scored those two goals in the first half and then Turin tried to come back. No, it was 1-1 throughout the whole freaking game until the last few minutes. That's when McKinney came in and actually scored.
El Americano.
The American, Weston McKennie. He scored his goal. And I believe it's his first goal in the club.
Obviously in the club, but also in Syria.
Yeah.
But now that makes him the third American player to have scored a goal in Syria.
Yeah. So that is actually a little accomplishment in itself. And it clinched the match for Juventus. Instead of ending it in a tie, they actually clinched it and they got their 3 points.
No, it's a big win for Juventus for sure. But yeah, congrats to Weston McKennie, man. That is definitely a good win. Not only did you score your goal, but you got the goal that got your team the win.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
so for sure, your teammates are going to be buying you all kinds of food right now or anything, really.
The Weston McKennie jerseys are just flying off the shelves now. Not only from American fans, fans of the U.S. men's national team, but I mean even
the Italian fans.
Because you just beat Turin. So yeah. You just beat Torino in the Turin Derby.
You basically proved your worth. You proved your worth.
L'Americano.
But yeah, what about you, bro?
So obviously one of the most least likely places that I go to. And that is PSG beating Montpellier 3-1. PSG had 65% of the possession of this game. But funny enough, Montpellier was actually the one that outshot them 17-13, which is not that like big of a... It's like pretty closer to... it's not 17-7, but...
No, I actually think it's a pretty high outshooting considering the possession.
No, yeah, for sure.
With 35% of the possession and you outshooting 17, that means they were just shooting from outside of the field.
Like, for sure. So for the reason why I picked this is because me and Edward both probably believe in this, is this is the guy that's going to take over after Messi and Ronaldo hang it up. And this is going to be the guy that's going to be winning the Ballon d'Or, is the constant favorite, probably if he leaves PSG.
The next Thierry Henry, probably?
Possibly.
Mm.
But Kylian Mbappe scores his 100th goal as a player of PSG, which is crazy to think because he has not been playing. He's been playing with PSG not that long.
No, he came from Monaco and then, you know, that's
basically... I still can't believe Monaco did this.
They're probably looking at themselves like... Durr.
Once again, Monaco. Remember when everyone was hyping them up?
Yeah, with when Falcao was there.
They got James. They had James Rodriguez. They had Moutinho.
Now look at them. Scrounging.
That's just to show you don't always need oil money to be a good team.
Yeah.
But anyways, so you know, obviously Mbappe scores his 100th goal for PSG, which overshadowed a more significant goal, which was Moises Kean scoring his goal, which was kind of like Moises Kean is back, the young Italian, the one that everyone thought that would be kind of the guy that, hey, look, we can forget about Mario Balotelli. Like, we got Moises Kean here now. And so he scores a goal. And then he gets subbed out for Kylian Mbappe, and Mbappe overshadows him by scoring his 100th goal.
Yeah. I mean, it happens, man. I mean,
hey, that's how life works. But Mbappe, huge milestone for him, which is once again crazy to think that with the fact that Mbappe has only been with PSG. He has not been with PSG very that long.
And he's only 21.
And he's only 21.
Yeah, 21. 22,
so
I think.
to score 100 goals for one team. And obviously that also includes Champions League and all the other, you know, things that he's scoring with. So it's not like, oh my God, he scored 100 goals in Ligue 1 only. No, it's obviously more than that.
Yeah.
That would be impressive.
That would be like that year that Messi fucking broke that record when in La Liga he scored, what, 59 goals, 50-something goals?
Yeah.
In that one season?
That was godly. And I'm sure Mbappe is more than capable of doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously, no, huge milestone for him. Like I said, at a really young age, already at 100 goals for his club. So congratulations to PSG for what was expected to beat Montpellier. But
congratulations to Kylian Mbappe
yeah,
for his 100th goal.
The future. Well, he's here. He is here.
The president of France. I guess I don't know what the fuck
the Malcolm. You remember that Malcolm in the Middle episode when they're playing against Hal? In basketball?
Oh, yeah.
The future is now, old man.
That was Dewey. Oh, God. I remember that.
All right. Anyways. All right. So let me tell you guys about Unhinged Sports Network. It is a growing brand with a wide variety of sports podcasts from all around the country. Unhinged is constantly playing shows on their website, unhingedsn.com. Go there and listen to us on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Central Time and stay to listen to the rest. Check them out at unhingedsn.com. Also, follow them on Twitter at Network Unhinged. Edward, who is your player of the week?
My player of the week. Do you want to know who it is? Okay. I already mentioned his name already. My player of the week is Weston McKennie because of him scoring that game-winning goal against Torino. So, I mean, I got to give him props. Props are due. You know, I mean, shit, he did his job. He did good. He did more than his job. I mean, think about it. He actually, I think he played a very good game.
No, I agree totally. We already covered about what he was able to accomplish. But what the fuck was that early? Like, are you trying to be Tony Montana? Like, who's the bad guy? Like,
the bad guy? The bad guy.
Do you not know who you're messing with, home? Like, what the fuck was that?
I don't know. I guess I'm still stuck in work mode and where I make fun of accents and hello, how are you today? Yeah, you know, kind of stuff like
that. That was not offensive at all.
No, it was not.
All right.
I love you guys. I love you people.
So here's my player of the week, and everyone's gonna hate me, but Alvaro Negredo, who scores the game-winning goal to secure Cadiz. The club of El Salvador, not really club of El Salvador, but obviously one of the greatest to have ever done it for El Salvador, which isn't really saying much, played for Cadiz. And Cadiz, now in La Liga, they're now on the top flight once again. And they come up with the biggest upset in their, probably in their history, maybe not, but probably in their history right now. And that is beating Barcelona 2-1. And Alvaro Negredo secured it and got them the win, which obviously also led to now everybody questioning if Barcelona's mediocre or not. But that's not the point of that. The point is, congratulations to Alvaro Negredo for scoring the game-winning goal, coming off a substitute, coming in for the other Alvaro. There's a lot of Alvaros in Cadiz, by the way.
Yeah, that's a very common name in Spain.
So yeah, so congratulations to Weston McKennie and congratulations for Alvaro Negredo for being players of the week. Who is probably going to be overshadowed because Erik Haaland probably got player of the year.
Yeah, and it's what I was going to say, adding to that, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm mistaken, maybe I'm wrong. I thought I heard the announcer say that Cadiz beat Barcelona for the first time in, I don't know, since the 90s, I think. Maybe I'm...
Jesus Christ.
Maybe I'm mistaken. I have to look at the shit again.
It's pretty big for them. I mean, for Cadiz.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Especially beating them like that.
All right, man. So.
All right. So let us get on with the game previews. Why am I talking in an accent? I'm just randomly putting accents in there.
We're just right. Juventus, you know, Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, but maybe.
Montpellier.
Pierre Saclus. Ligue 1. All right. So my game previews here is, the first one is Manchester United versus Manchester City. The Manchester Derby.
Ooh, is Manchester going to be red or is Manchester going to be blue?
I don't know.
Bloods and Crips.
Yeah, pretty much.
Even though it's a lighter shade of blue, but it's all blue.
Yeah, it's like a Blue's Clues kind of blue. There you go. Hey, that makes sense.
Great reference there.
Yeah. But Man City has actually won three of the last meetings that they had, which have...
Last five meetings.
Huh?
Oh, last five meetings. My bad. So the thing that's interesting with this is that they have alternated the games. So PSG wins one... I mean, PSG... Manchester City wins game.
Somebody's still in France, Sacre Bleu. All French people out there listening to us, I love you guys.
We actually do have listeners from France, actually.
Yeah, I know.
So France. Manchester United wins, then Man City wins, then Manchester United wins, and then Man City wins. So they've been switching back and forth. So there's no draws. It's been one wins, then the next one wins. The next one wins. And interesting enough, the last win comes from Manchester United.
Let me guess, that was when Zlatan was playing? No.
What?
No.
The last time last year?
Oh, crap. Yeah.
Zlatan play for Manchester United last year?
No.
Did he find time between LA Galaxy and Serie A and AC Milan?
Zlatan, he might have. He could have dressed up as some random ass other player. And he would be like, hello, my name is Morris. I am not Zlatan.
Who's Morris in Manchester United?
I have no idea. I'm just making up names now. Leave me alone.
Jesus Christ, man. Anyways.
All right. So I think that one is whoever might take it. I hate to say it.
But what's interesting. Okay, so to add on to that, both teams have only lost one game of their last five games.
Oh, really? Shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, Man City also has some draws somewhere in there. Whereas, I mean, Manchester United has been looking...
It's like kind of a roller coaster. They beat Southampton last game.
But, so this is the part that kind of concerns me, though. Manchester United has given up 17 goals this season.
Yeah.
We're not even at the halfway point.
Nope.
You also lost to Arsenal.
I don't even know what to say to that one. All I can say is it's Mikel Arteta, but then at that point it's like
it's also still Arsenal.
Yeah, no. So I was like,
I'm gonna go cry in a corner.
Arsenal without Ozil. So, but on this one, who you got?
Because I'm actually gonna keep rolling with the alternating thing. I'm going to say Manchester City wins this game. They do need this win more than anything else in this world. And I mean, Manchester United right now is sitting in fourth place. At least last time I checked. I can't be wrong right now. But Manchester United looks pretty good. But they have given up a lot of goals.
They've given up a lot of goals and they don't really look good.
They have not looked that good to me.
And think about it this way. Pogba, the one person who you would think.
And that is a big factor as well. Pogba wants out.
He wants out.
So there's
he's not starting.
So do you say that there's probably some drama in there? There's a distraction in Manchester United?
He's not starting. If you notice, he comes off the bench a lot.
No, yeah. I mean, he's sick of it. He's done.
I mean, he'd rather
go play for Le Bleu.
Le Bleu.
I like how we just keep coming back to France. But anyways, yeah, I got Manchester City. I think Manchester City doesn't have any real issues aside from locker room problems. And I mean, yes, they haven't had like the best of starts to their season, but I think winning Manchester United could turn their season around and they're back on track to make a strong push to hopefully get back into the conversation for the top spot in England.
And I agree with you. As much as I hate to say it, I guess I have to push for Man City. And I mean, I like Man U. You know me. But it's just the only thing that I can say is maybe if Cavani's starting, maybe he can pull something out of his ass.
All right. So like basically like similar to how it was about America, Manchester United is giving me that same thing. They're winning games. They're finding ways to win games, which is great. But when you look at it, you're like, they don't look that good when they win these games. They're winning off of like obviously some very sheer luck moments.
They're winning by the skin of their testicles.
And it's like luck can only take you so far. At one point, you're going to have to win a game. And I mean, you can say the same thing for Manchester United, that if they beat Man City, maybe this gives them more confidence than anything else. And maybe they're like, okay, maybe we can be a legitimate team. But I got to go with Man City for this. And holy shit, Robo farted really bad.
Sleeve? A sleeve? Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. It's bad. It's real bad. Oh, man.
If you guys notice, my compatriot over here, he had to step away a little bit away from his mic because his dog, and his dog finally woke up.
What are you looking at me for? You did it.
Yeah. So it's just it's a bad one. I'll move on. The next I think I smelled it over here now. Ooh. The next match is Tottenham versus Crystal Palace. Holy fuck. I gotta be pro. All right.
God, it's gonna be
no, I'm sorry. Oh god, yeah.
Phooey. What the fuck did I
teach? Wow. Okay. Tottenham versus Crystal Palace. Tottenham have won 3 of the last 5 meetings between them, between Crystal Palace and Tottenham. And Crystal Palace have actually lost 3 of their last 5 games. Personally, I don't have much to say about it because Son and Harry Kane have been right on top of it. Crystal Palace has actually fallen off just a bit. They're going to be coming off a loss.
I'm just going to say this right now about Crystal Palace. Can someone just take Zaha? Just someone get him. Like, get him out of that sinking ship. Like, just
Look who's back.
Just get him. Like, why is Zaha still with Crystal Palace? Like, this guy should be playing with at least a power five club in the EPL at least. Shoot, Everton, I'm sure you can use them in some way. Anyways, but this matchup, I mean, Tottenham looks so good, man. They're just so strong. I don't know what else to say about Tottenham, man.
I mean, that's like I said, if Harry Kane and Son are still on it, everything's good.
Yeah, so I give this game to Tottenham. I don't think Crystal Palace has struggled. I mean, they lost 3 of their last 5 games. I mean, there's nothing really else you can say, man. They're not in good form. They're a mid-table team. Crystal Palace is a mid-table team. There's nothing really much else to say for me. Are they fun to watch? Could they be an upset? Could they do upsets? Of course, but not the way Tottenham is playing. Tottenham has been on a whole different level. And it's crazy enough that Jose Mourinho could possibly be winning a championship with Tottenham this year. Just by the way this counterattack has worked. And the fact is, it's because of the players that he has up top. The fact that he does have Son. The fact that he has Harry Kane. Gareth Bale somewhere there. And all I can think about is what's going to happen when Dele Alli comes back.
That's another question. I want him to come back because he's
always been fun. With his vision, I mean, his ability to pass the ball, that's going to be big for Tottenham. But I mean, right now, they're looking solid, man. The team as a whole, I think they have played so well. They really look good defensively. They look good. They move the ball pretty fluid. So, I mean, like, they just have it this year. I think they just, when you look at a team that's just on fire, it's great. Hopefully, they can maintain it. That's going to be the big question is, can they keep this up? Because, I mean, obviously, once they can solidify themselves in a good lead for the EPL, I mean, it's theirs. But obviously, we're not even halfway through the season yet. But it's still crazy to see what this Tottenham team has been doing, because they literally don't look like the Tottenham team that we're used to seeing.
Yeah, we're not. Tottenham to me is still like a mid-tier team in my eyes. But with them, with Son being how he's just being unleashed, and Harry Kane actually finding him at every pass, and him he's even scoring, it's kind of like, oh shit, you know, this isn't just the mid-table team that we're used to seeing. This is actually a EPL champion. But like you said, I take Tottenham over Crystal Palace.
Okay.
And then last but not least, we got Real Madrid versus Atletico Madrid, the Madrid Derby, El Clásico de Madrid.
Yep. Oh. I've been looking forward to this.
Damn. So the last season, Real Madrid was the only team that scored in their win in their previous match, which was 1-0.
That's crazy to think that like this game, between last year alone, 2019-2020 season, they had two draws. I mean, one of the 0-0 draws was in the Super Cup, which I believe Atletico Madrid won in penalties. But you know, 0-0 the first game, and then Real Madrid wins the second game, 1-0. And I think that's one of the games that I feel put them in a prominent spot to win La Liga last year, even though it was also the fact that Barcelona had their collapse near the end and then Real Madrid just kept winning games.
Yeah.
But this is a big one, man. I mean, obviously, Atletico Madrid looks so good this year. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that Real Sociedad looks so good right now, you would think that Atletico Madrid would be the top of the table right now. Especially right now is the fact that you have Real Madrid and Barcelona both not having their best seasons. And it's just the fact that they just didn't do well when it came to transfers. And like, hey, I said it last episode. If you don't get better, you're getting worse. And I mean, every other team in that league got better. You can even say the same thing for Real Sociedad. They got David Silva. That's a big upgrade for them. An aging upgrade, but still an upgrade. You have Atletico Madrid, added Luis Suarez. João Felix looks more comfortable now in that team. And that's not really saying much because he looked pretty good in his first season with them as well.
Yeah.
But you got other teams around you getting better, adding new players. And you have Real Madrid and Barcelona that basically stayed the same, if not worse, as what you could say with Barcelona getting Pjanic. And I mean, Real Madrid, I mean, there's a lot of question marks. It's a lot of aging question marks. Why did you let Dani Ceballos go back to Arsenal? Maybe you should have kept him, especially with that midfield, because there's a lot of problems in that midfield for me. Mm-hmm. Specifically because there's not a lot of young legs in that midfield for me.
Yeah, I mean, all you can really count on Isco at that point, but at the same time, he's already, what, 27, 28?
Not only that, but it just seems like he's on his way out.
Yeah, like, I don't think his heart's there anymore.
Not really. And I mean, Modric, I love Modric, but let's face it, he's also...
34, 33?
35. Shite. So he's done as well. So, I mean, like, it's time to move on. And Atletico Madrid looks really good. But this is a team that Real Madrid has done pretty well against.
Yeah.
I think that something about this rivalry has been really, really been one of those things where Real Madrid are really hard about being good at.
But Atletico Madrid haven't even lost any matches in their past five matches. They've drew on two and they've won three.
No, yeah, I get that. And then also doesn't help the fact that they have only allowed two goals this season.
Yeah, that's...
And one of the big...
John Oblak.
There's that. But also, one of the big things for me, one of the concerns for me as well, is the fact that there's not been that much spark in the attack for Real Madrid. I mean, Vinicius has looked really good. There's just been some finishing issues. I mean, you could even say the same thing for Karim Benzema. I think maybe he's kind of near the end of his time with Real Madrid as well. But they got to find some sort of spark up front, man. Like, maybe change something up. I think Vinicius is definitely your spark, and they need to definitely ride with that. But I think it's time to unleash the other Brazilian. Yep. I think it's time Rodrigo... I mean, we've seen the highlight reel that Rodrigo can do. I mean, everybody's seen it. You've seen what Rodrigo can do.
Absolutely.
And you know that kid can do something when he gets his opportunity. And I think it's time to let this kid go out there. No offense to Asensio, but it's time to see what Rodrigo can do. I wouldn't say anything about Jovic. I think obviously we just ride Benzema. But I think maybe Benzema is an issue up front. Maybe the fact that he has criticized Vinicius could be an issue as well. So maybe he's holding back Vinicius.
Could be.
I think it's time to let the Brazilians go. Let the Brazilians go and let them play. Let them play their style. Let them do what comforts them and see what happens. Zinedine at this point has nothing to lose. Actually, has a lot to lose. But I think if he lets them go, I think he can somehow salvage his job. Because it's holding on, but it's not holding on that tight.
Yeah. By a very small thread.
Especially because he's not doing that great in Champions League either.
Mm-mm.
So
he's not that.
So he needs to make a big decision here.
That the Champions League thing, it's like you're lucky Inter ended up beating
You can do it. Go on.
Mönchengladbach.
Yeah. Why did you? Why is this? You said it right.
I did.
Mönchengladbach.
Mönchengladbach. Okay. I just wanted to not butcher it, so I had to go syllable by syllable almost.
You've heard me say Mönchengladbach how many times now, and you still haven't figured it out?
Anyways, but that's the reason why the table is actually close, but Real Madrid is still in third place.
Yeah, and I mean, but that's what I'm saying, though. And especially because they already lost again to a freaking team from Sweden. But they're in a really weird situation where we could be honestly looking at them in the Europa League. So it's like...
That's going to be an odd situation. And let's not forget the little wager that we have here in insert name FC between...
I like how you finally got our name right.
I'm just saying, our usual wager of the singing bet.
Yep.
Now this time it's not me.
We know for sure it's not going to be you this time. So it is Spencer versus me.
Yeah.
Because Spencer is obviously the Atlético Madrid fan.
Atlético Madrid, I swear to God.
I'm never letting this go.
I could see that.
You don't let it go either.
Yeah, I don't.
Anyways, this is going to be what's going to happen here. Is me and Spencer going to have to sing for the first time? Well, regardless, one of us is going to sing. Or will be the first time where we have a draw. And obviously, in the event of... So, for people that aren't familiar with the bet, the loser has to sing for the outro the song of the winner's choosing. So, obviously, in our previous two bets, Edward had to sing the song from Let It Go from the movie Frozen, and then had to also sing Get Your Hands Off My Woman by the band. I forgot their name.
Spencer's choice.
So, but in the event of a tie, Edward gets the pick, and me and Spencer would have to sing a duet.
Oh, and I already have the song in mind.
But yeah, so for some reason, I think it's Ebony and Ivory.
It's not. It might be a perfect song, but it's not.
All right, anyways. So yeah, there is that. So the bet's on the line, and maybe me and Spencer can show you how you're supposed to do this bet. All right. Clearly you don't ever sing.
I don't. And not those songs anyways. That's why I'm like, I was all lost. And one of the songs was
You have from like the second your team loses to actually take the time to go learn the songs, and you don't bother to do it.
Because
you don't. Songs, it's not like you don't listen to music while you're at work.
It's songs that I listen to Netflix or when... You know, or I go into...
But that's what I'm saying.
And listen to podcasts, so that's not music, but...
Just saying that you have ample amount of time to actually get familiar with the song so you can get into it by record day so you can go ahead and bust your chops, but you don't. So, just...
I think you farted again.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man, I'm about to smell that in a bit.
Yeah, all right.
Well, but anyway, Spencer, may the best man win. Hopefully it's Real Madrid. Hopefully. I mean, they beat Sevilla. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I feel like they're the risky team to take. Like, they got nothing to lose now. They got to do it. Please, Rodrigo. If Rodrigo and Vinicius score in this game, you don't know, especially because this is my birthday. So
what do they lose for your birthday?
I'm going to hate this team. They're my club, but I'm going to hate this team. I'm going to hate Zidane. I'm going to go headbutt him. Because clearly, he didn't let the Brazilians play.
Are you going to be like in the Family Guy? Okay. You're going to be walking up to his door, and he'll be like, "Yes, hello," and you'll be like, "Bon anniversaire," like how he said it in Family Guy.
Yeah, I mean, literally right now, I'm literally Will Ferrell from Kicking and Screaming. Instead of saying "pass to the Italians," I'm saying "pass it to the Brazilians."
All right.
Pass the ball to the Brazilians. That's my strategy, and I'm sticking with it.
All right.
Anyways. All right, man. It is time. The Liga MX final. We know who's playing in it. We know who's going to be playing the two games because that's how Liga MX does it.
Yay.
Nothing weird about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we have the first and second place team facing off for the Liga MX final, and that is Club León and Pumas.
The two cats.
Yep, the two cats. The battle of the big cats. The first game will be December 10th at Pumas, which will be Thursday. What?
I was about to say something.
Come on.
It's because I was about to abbreviate Battle of the Big Cats. What is the abbreviation to that? Yeah, you. Now you're.
I hate you so much. It's the BBC. Anyways, so the first game will be Thursday, December 10th at Pumas. And then the final game will be December 13th, Sunday at Club León. So that second game could be really big. We saw how big that home game is.
That's what she said.
Jesus Christ. But anyways, so it is the battle between the first and second team. These have been the two best teams in Liga MX this year. I mean, there was a point where Pumas had not even lose a single game. They only lost one game. Both these teams only lost one game, honestly.
Yeah.
But there is one team that significantly was better this year. And let's go ahead and talk about León, who finished the season with 12 wins, 4 draws, 1 loss, and scored 27 goals and allowed 14. In their way to get to the final, because they didn't have the player... both these teams didn't have to play reclassification games because, they're in the top four. So León beats Puebla 3-2 in aggregate, which was...
That's surprising.
A surprising matchup to begin with. But then also beat Chivas 2-1, which...
I mean, again, surprising because Chivas actually...
Beat América.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chivas. Anyways. But yeah, so that was their route, their journey to the Liga MX final. And then you have Pumas, who finished their season with an 8 wins, 8 draws, 1 loss. They put up 29 goals and allowed 17. So
it kind of balances out.
For sure. So León was actually was tied for first for best defensive team. And then Pumas, I believe, is the second best goal scoring team in Liga MX. So you have a pretty decent attack going up against a very good defense.
Yeah.
And Pumas' route to the final is actually they beat Pachuca 1-0. And then the most dramatic way to get into the final when they beat Cruz Azul 4-4 on aggregate. And I know some people are probably confused as fuck right now. But so the first game against Cruz Azul scores 4 goals, wins the game 4-0. So it put a lot of pressure on Pumas. And in that second game, which was in their home stadium, they go in and come back and score 4 goals. Now, some of you that are probably like Champions League know how aggregates go. You would say, oh, okay, so they're going to go to penalties. No, they didn't do that because in Liga MX, at least in the up to the semifinals, I think in the final, they go to extra time and then they go to penalties. But in Liga MX, the higher seed advances. So regardless of away goals or any of that, the higher seed automatically advances regardless in the event of a tied aggregate. So in case some people didn't know that about Liga MX. So, but there is that. But yeah, now we know who's playing each other. It's Pumas versus León. And Edward, what do you think?
It's going to be a tight game. I really think it's going to be a really, really tight game. I can't even by looking at the numbers and by the way they play, it's going to be a hard one. I kind of want Pumas to win it just because of the fact that it's kind of like the underdog story, I think. I mean, the ultimate underdog story was Cruz Azul, but you know
what's funny also, just to add on to it. So to get their spot in, to get second,
mm-hmm.
their last team that they had to play in this season was Cruz Azul, which they beat 2-1.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting how it went back to Cruz Azul for Pumas to make it to the final.
Yeah. And then, like I said, it's like, to me, I feel like Pumas is the underdog on this one. León is clearly a very dominant team. I want Pumas to win it, but my mind's going with León.
So you're going with León?
Yeah.
I think I would love to see Pumas win it, mainly because, I mean, they looked really good from the beginning. I mean, they kind of fell off a little bit. I mean, obviously 8 draws. But obviously they didn't lose a game. Well, they only lost one.
They lost one.
But I want to see Pumas just because of Talavera. But Talavera isn't actually starting at goalkeeper. But, I mean, León has just been so good this year.
Yeah.
I feel like, honestly, with their games, they've been pretty close with their games. I mean, obviously, you beat Chivas 2-1. And then you barely beat Pachuca,
right?
3-2. So I mean, you would maybe argue that they had the easier trip to the final, but definitely had their struggles. Which also could also say that maybe you gotta give props to Puebla and Chivas. They went in there. They went there and fought.
Yeah, they did. Tooth and nail.
Tooth and nail with a team that's very superior defensively, at least this year. At least for this part of their season, for that matter. But it's hard to not pick Club León. I think León came into the season with a purpose, and they knew what they wanted to do, and that was to win the tournament. I'm just glad it's gonna be somebody different. It's not America. It's not Monterrey. It's not Tigres. It's gonna be somebody different, and I think these are two really good teams. I do like Pumas for being resilient, but I think I just gotta go with Club León.
All right. Yeah.
So that is our preview for the Liga MX final. I think it's gonna be really exciting. Like I said, man, first game is gonna be December 10th, Thursday, which I believe you can see it in Univision. And then the last game, the second leg, will be December 13th, Sunday. It's gonna be at León, and once again, you probably can watch that in Univision.
Yeah, Univision.
So I'm excited, man.
It's gonna be a hell of a matchup.
Yeah, I think that the first game is definitely gonna be telling to see what's gonna happen. I think if Pumas can get at least some comfort, because you know they're playing in their stadium, they gotta take advantage of it, especially because you know next game is at León, so there is that. All right, man. So MLS Cup final preview is coming up, man. We have our friend Andrew with us. So let's go ahead and check out our MLS Cup preview.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we are with Andrew from Kicking the Drew SC. And we're going to preview the 2020 MLS Cup final. First of all, how impressed are you how they got here? I mean, Seattle Sounders, Columbus Crew. I'm just glad that one of the teams that I picked that was going to be in the final is in the final. I mean, I thought Sporting KC was going to do it. Clearly, they look like shit from the beginning of this tournament. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm half right, so I'll take it.
Word. Yo, this is going to be an intense playoff final. I'll tell you guys right now. I think it's a 50-50 kind of final.
I think a lot of people are very heavily favored towards Seattle. But I definitely like Columbus Crew. I mean, I've said a lot of good things about Columbus Crew at this point.
Yeah, you hyped them up a lot.
Yeah, I won't shut up about them. But yeah, man, let's get going down to this game. So obviously, this game is going to be December 12th, Saturday, which is my birthday. So at least it's going to be a good game. I mean, at least I'm getting a good game for my birthday. I would have wanted the Dynamo to be here, but they said, fuck me. So that's literally where we're at. But yeah, so it's Columbus Crew, Seattle Sounders. You got the third place team from the Eastern Conference and against the second place team in the Western Conference. And they're going to be playing in Columbus. I know it sounds a little confusing, but Columbus is technically the better, higher seeded team overall in the MLS. So they actually were higher as far as points wise to the Seattle Sounders, which still sounds kind of confusing, especially because of the fact that Seattle is second place in the Western Conference. But here we are. Welcome to 2020.
The end of 2020.
Finally.
Yeah. Hey, I'm still waiting for December 32nd to happen. It's gonna happen. All right, so let's know a little bit about the Columbus Crew. So Columbus Crew, like I said, finished third place in the Eastern Conference, finished the season with a record of 12 wins, 5 draws, 6 losses. They scored 43 goals and allowed 24. The Seattle Sounders, on the other hand, they finished in second place in the Western Conference with 11 wins, 6 draws, and 5 losses. They actually did not play, I believe, one more game less than the Columbus Crew did. And I think at that point, it was just with all the COVID issues and the fact that, you know what, at this point, Seattle's where they are. They're probably not going to lose their spot. So I guess that's where kind of MLS took over at that point. But, I mean, they scored 52 goals this season and allowed 30. So, I mean, you're going with two teams that have definitely scored a lot of goals this season and clearly didn't allow that much, which is basically the rule of thumb of soccer, is to score more than the other team.
Definitely. I think Columbus Crew had the easier route to the final compared to Seattle. And Seattle had to get through, you know, LAFC. And FC Dallas looked good so far this playoff season. And of course, Minnesota United, upsetting Sporting Kansas City. They got through Minnesota just barely at the last second of the game. Whereas Columbus had to go through, you know, like New York Red Bulls, who've been like pretty iffy all year. Nashville, who are, you know, brand new team. You expect them to win that game. And New England, who probably their biggest challenge. But in the end, Columbus got through. And I still pick Seattle Sounders to win the whole thing at the end of this whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So, I mean, let's just see what each team has. I mean, you got, for the Columbus Crew, you clear their top goal scorer, which is Jazzy Sardis. I know how much you love that guy, Andrew. But yeah, Jazzy Sardis with 14 goals this season. And on the other side, you got Seattle, who also has another player that scored 14 goals, and that is Raul Ruiz Diaz. I know you're probably hyped up about that one because you're fellow Peruvian, is in there. And I mean, the guy is cerebral. I think that's one of the best words to describe Ruiz Diaz. I mean, the guy came in clutch to get the game-tying, at least the game-tying goal, to definitely put them in a prime spot. I mean, the fact that they scored 2 goals in 4 minutes in that Western Conference final, man, that is just amazing. But Raul Ruiz Diaz, I mean, when he has that opportunity, he's going to take it, and he's going to put it with all his might into that, because the guy can shoot.
Oh, yeah. I used to follow him a lot when he was in Monarcas.
Yep. I know that I shouldn't be talking about the Houston Dynamo, but I really wish they would make moves like this.
Dude, he would have been a hell of a player to play for.
But Dynamo. I mean, goal scoring is great, but we need guys that can provide them some stuff. And that, of course, we got to talk about their top playmakers. In the Columbus Crew, they have Pedro Santos and Lucas Zalarayan, who each have provided 8 assists this year. That's why they're both mentioned here, just because they're tied for their top guys in as far as the assist makers. And then the Sounders, I mean, they got their captain, Lodeiro. I mean, what else to say, man? With 13 assists, I mean, the guy's been doing really good this year. I mean, he's definitely the heart and soul, in my opinion, of the Seattle Sounders attack. The guy has a good eye for the ball and, you know, provided, I think he has a good running record. It's 6 straight games with an assist in the MLS playoffs or something like that. I'm sure it's extended now, but I mean, like, Lodeiro is definitely a great move. Seattle's just made great moves for such a long time now. You know, they got Lucas Lodeiro. They also have Raul Ruiz Diaz. So they make some pretty good decisions we're probably throwing over the term dynasty if we're thinking about Seattle right now. And of course, you know, they got your boy Jordan Morris as well.
Thanks, yeah. Jordan Morris is an absolute beast for Seattle Sounders. I think he's one of their most important players next to Lodeiro and Ruiz Diaz. I think he didn't score in his last game against Minnesota, but I think nonetheless he's very dangerous and tricky on the left. Once you get him on the break, and especially in a counterattack for Seattle, Jordan Morris is your guy. With the speed, he's got the strength to hold off players. He can cross a good ball. He can even finish, you know, a nice pass and score some goals as well. So he's very dangerous. Can't count him out. Ruiz Diaz, dangerous. Lodeiro, like you said, one of the assist king for Seattle. He's going to find the pass. He's going to find the guy to make a goal. Like, I feel like Seattle is way more stacked than Columbus is right now.
So for this game, who do you say is like the player to keep an eye on? This is the guy that's going to definitely make the difference to basically alter the decision for their team. Like, who's that player? I'm guessing it's going to be Jordan Morris, or you want to go somewhere else?
For Seattle, yeah, I'm going to go for Jordan Morris, just because I think he is the key player for them. For Columbus, I'm going to go ahead with Jonathan Mensah, their center back, who's been, I think, outstanding so far this whole season. And I want to see how he's going to defend against, like I said, Jordan Morris, how he's going to man mark Ruiz Diaz, and even try to break off some of passing lanes of Nicolas Lodeiro.
No, that's definitely some good ones. I think for me, the players to point out, at least for Seattle for sure, is Fry. I mean, the guy between the sticks, you definitely know if he has a good day, it's going to be a really good chance that Seattle's good. All they need to do is just find their opportunity to score a goal, especially when you have that guy between the goalposts and being able to give them the comfort knowing that they have all day to go ahead and find their goal, because they have a very reliable goalkeeper in the back. And for the Columbus Crew, I feel like Santos is an interesting spark plug. I mean, obviously he's the second leading assist guy for Santos, but I mean, he comes up big in these opportunities. I mean, we saw what he did in the Eastern Conference Finals, where he was able to be at that right place for Jossie Zardes to give him that assist. So, I mean, I think Santos is definitely a guy to look out for the Columbus Crew. And then, like I said, Fry, a solid goalkeeper, and I think definitely should be a big focal point for Seattle. I mean, obviously, as long as he can keep them within close in this game, I think Seattle has a really good chance at this game.
Interesting.
Ever, you want to say something?
Well, I mean, you know me. I'm always all about the dribblers, the scorers. So I would say Zardes and Ruiz Diaz. Both of those guys.
No, that's really good, man.
That's just me, though. Like,
I'm seriously hoping for a Jossie Zardes goal. And I mean, I'm sure most of you guys don't know what I mean when I say Jossie Zardes goal. But like, literally, the ball gets smacked in his face.
The awkward one, right?
It's an accidental goal by Jossie Zardes.
Oh, God. But as long as that's not the game-winning goal, I'll be happy.
We need some comedy in this game. I mean,
because if it's like a game-winning goal and it's like that, it's just kind of like, what the hell? Really?
But yeah, so I mean, obviously, when you think of these two teams, I think both these teams have done pretty well this season. Some can say one had more of an easier path to the finals. But I mean, going back to this regular season, they only faced off against each other once in 2020, and that was a 1-1 draw. So you can't even
base off of
that, because I mean, clearly these are. I think this is a really good matchup. I think this is a great matchup, great final. I'm sure Andrew would have preferred the Philadelphia Union to be in here, and Bruce Arena decided to say otherwise. But at least you were in the playoffs. My team wasn't. My team was dead last. So I mean,
damn, bro. Maybe next year with the rebrand.
I mean, maybe they put so little effort in the logo that they're like, hey, we're gonna put all this. I mean, they just sold Mauro Mignotta, so I mean, we'll see what happens there. Yeah. I mean, you got Ariel Lassiter and Christian. This isn't about the Dynamo. So we kind of have a good idea of both these teams. We kind of get like the feel now. So I'm going to start things off, whatever. Who do you got?
Who do I got? Man, I got to go with Seattle on this one. Just because of Ruiz Diaz. Telling you, I thought he was
so cold. Seattle repeats.
Yeah. Wow, and then you also got Jordan Morris. And you know me, he's actually one of my favorite American players.
He's got to go to Europe at some point, right?
Yeah, I want him to. I really wanted him to go.
He's never going to go, guys. I promise you. I wish he does too. He's one of my favorite American soccer players too, but I don't see him leaving.
Somebody should kidnap his dog and take him to Europe and be like, the only way you would play and get your dog back is
great conversation
play here
from Jermaine Jones in that video. Europe. But yeah. No, but yeah, so who do you, I mean, I think you've already said it, but Andrew, go ahead and re-clarify who you think is winning this.
Yeah, I'm going to go on the Seattle train. I think we're going to do the repeat back-to-back champs. I'll even go for a score prediction. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win for Seattle.
Ooh.
Complete shutout for Columbus.
So Fry does his job, is what you're saying.
Damn.
This is crazy. I mean, do we now? I mean, Seattle has been in the Western Conference Finals for the last four times, like the last four, for the last five, I believe, have been in the Western Conference Finals. Seattle Sounders. Now they're in back-to-back MLS Cup Finals. I mean, they're hoping for their third MLS Cup. But do we start saying that Seattle is a dynasty?
Yeah, I think they're the best team right this year. I think they are the team to beat, obviously. I think they're the team who other teams are going to try to replicate their success. I think they're the new LA Galaxy. I think LA Galaxy's time is done. Now it's going to be Seattle's turn to really rule MLS.
I mean, you got to pull for Seattle. I think you see the fan. They have such a great following of fans.
Oh, yeah. The fans,
they're not there. They're not there now, but I mean, they have great support. Their ownership is so good. I mean, you got Russell Wilson, Drew Carey. Drew Carey is one of the owners of Seattle Sounders.
Homeboy's like, haha, I'll make you laugh and you go ahead and do all the decisions you need.
It's the most random thing is that Drew Carey is the owner of the Seattle Sounders.
I mean, we need somebody like that here in Dynamo. But this ain't about Dynamo. I'm just, you know.
I would say Kevin Hart, but Philadelphia has a better chance of getting Kevin
Hart.
Like,
he'd be like, no.
But, all right, so I want to say Seattle. I really do. But the fact that I actually picked Columbus to be in the final
when we
previewed the MLS Cup playoffs, I gotta roll with them. I mean, Sporting KC didn't hold their end of the bargain.
But, I guess he's a ride Columbus, or die kind of type of person.
But Columbus did, so I gotta go different. I mean, I like what Columbus Crew has done. I've said it. I think this team is very consistent. It's kind of ironic because the fact is that Seattle's even more consistent than the Columbus. But I got to stick with the team I picked from the beginning, and that's what I'm going to do. I think Columbus Crew wins this game. I think I'm going to say it. I think this game goes to penalties.
Ooh.
And I think that even more so, that's even more important to mention, Eloy Room will be back for Columbus Crew as the starting goalkeeper. So I think that that's a big factor, especially going into penalties.
That's a big boost for them, but I don't know. I read a report that he might not come back. He might not make it in time. Like, to recover in time for that game.
Well, aside from that, I think this game is going to be really good. I think it's going to go the distance, and I think penalties is where it's going to end. And I think Columbus Crew lifts their MLS Cup trophy and says "fuck you" to Austin FC.
Oh,
ooh, that'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They win the trophy and then like put a big banner up. We saved the crew.
Yeah. Damn.
They should just have the parade in Austin.
It makes me want
to go to Austin and have the parade there.
Yeah, I kind of want to switch now. I want to go to
just for that.
Yeah,
I don't know, but also at the same time, that's gonna piss off Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, he'd be like, oh no, oh no, oh no,
oh no, oh no, oh no.
Are you sure he won't be all right? Hey-o. All
right. But yeah, man, I think this MLS Cup final is gonna be a lot of fun. Hopefully it's going to be fun because obviously it's going to be on my birthday. So this better not be a boring one.
Well, I have a question for y'all. Now, seeing as how we said that, you know, this team is basically the stacked team for the MLS. Do you think that like this stacked team could stand against the likes of Arsenal? Or I'm not putting him out there.
What the fuck, man?
I'm not putting it out. I'm just saying. They're mid table. They're not like top. They're not low. They're mid.
They used to be definitely.
Yeah, but they're mid. They're mid. I'm just saying.
I'm gonna go cry in a corner right now.
Oh my god. Okay, but I'm just saying. Do you think that they have a chance against a team like that?
Or even like
Celta Vigo.
Okay,
in
no
Spain.
Disrespect to Seattle.
Celta Vigo.
Yeah.
Okay, Celta Vigo? No, I think Celta Vigo can still win.
You really think so?
I think it'd be close. That's probably thing it'd be a draw.
Yeah, it'll be close, but I still think Celta Vigo.
But that's the thing. You think they would be a contender for teams like, let's say, in the Europa League?
Compete in the Europa League?
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen some of the teams?
I know, that's what I'm saying. No, well, okay, that team, yeah. But I'm saying like the little smaller teams. What was it? Copenhagen?
Like
Copenhagen. So I mean,
I can see that. I mean,
I would love to see a matchup. I would actually love for somehow, for some godforsaken reason, to be like the UEFA would be like, hey, we'll pick the winner of the MLS Cup for 1 year and we'll bring him over to the Europa League.
That's just suck, just, man. That, just the, for the hell, the jet lag, the
bro. Jet lag but then for them staying them for them staying over there and everything, and for them to train over there,
attention.
Yeah, that would be a big media boost.
Well, I mean, we won't know until obviously at least see them play against another team from Europe. We're only going to see that unless somehow one of these MLS teams win the CONCACAF Champions League. I mean, and I think Seattle's definitely probably a good bet to win the CONCACAF Champions, at least hopefully one day.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as now we're viewing them as this possible dynasty, as this team that's doing everything right. The standard that the MLS is not going to be looking at is going to be Seattle. And I mean, I would at this point, I'm just cheering for anybody to win the CONCACAF Champions League. I frankly don't give a shit. I mean, Montreal Impact go ahead and win the CONCACAF Champions League and I'll be happy. So, I mean, we just need to, because the thing is that in order to make the MLS more legitimate, they're going to have to win the CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, right now, it's just that we can't compete against a Liga MX side. That's at least a notion.
We have to start turning the tables. We have to start taking that crown of the CONCACAF Champions League. Like, in terms of USA Soccer, like youth development, like of youth players we have right now, like that we have developing, it's way better, I think, than the Mexican team has right now. So we're kind of beating them in that sense. Let's try to beat them now at club level in the CONCACAF Champions League. Like, we have to. And I actually have a question for you guys now.
Oh,
I've heard that MLS teams might be in the next Copa Libertadores.
How
do you think they would do with there? Do you guys think they would actually make it to like a knockout stage?
I want to say yes.
The knockout stage,
like out of the group.
I think it obviously depends who they're in the group stages, but I feel like they can definitely hang with the likes of like teams from Colombia and Chile.
I mean, you got
Bolivia, like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe Brazil might be where I'm like okay,
Santos and
Brazil or Argentina probably be those leagues where I'm like it would. I mean, if we don't have to go against Boca Junior or River Plate or Flamengo or like the top dogs of Brazil and Spain, Brazil and Argentina. Like, I mean, I feel like we're the most, at least like the competent MLS teams. I'm not saying all the MLS
Colo Colo.
Has that team done anything lately?
No.
No, Colo-Colo is from Chile.
Oh, Chile, yeah.
But the only reason why I say that is because we had a friend from high school that was from Chile.
He went bad shit crazy for them.
But anyways, I think it'll be a good thing for the MLS to compete in Copa Libertadores. I mean, that's obviously the tournament of the Americas. I mean, at one point, I do believe Liga MX has even competed in that tournament. I don't know if they've been playing it recently. I think I think CONCACAF has tried to like, no, we need y'all to make CONCACAF Champions League look a little bit better. So I mean, there's probably that, but I think that could help more. Cause I mean, I think the level of competition is definitely something that could help the MLS. But I think also the issue with Copa Libertadores, like if the MLS wants to compete in the Copa Libertadores or the CONCACAF Champions League, is they got to definitely look at their scheduling. Because I mean, most of these teams that are competing in CONCACAF Champions League and even Copa Libertadores, they're already in the middle of their season. So they're in form. They're in game shape. Whereas most of the MLS teams aren't even starting training camp till like February. Most of them get the early pass to start training just because of the fact that they have to get ready for CONCACAF Champions League. Yeah. So the scheduling is definitely a big issue. I mean, I think that's been something that a lot of fans have complained about for years is the scheduling for the MLS. They just need to forget about, we're going to lose ratings to the NFL. I mean, you're going to lose ratings to the NFL regardless. Just focus on your league. Because I guarantee you, if teams can win the CONCACAF Champions League, people are going to start watching the MLS. And I mean, you can even say the same thing for Copa Libertadores, is if they can go in there and win, at least compete further into it, it'll definitely be good. It'll look good for the league.
Yeah, I mean, even making the final, I think, would be something really monumental for MLS as a whole. Like, just making it to that historic tournament final, that's just enough for me, I think.
Yeah,
totally.
I agree with that. I mean, I think the MLS teams can actually make it out into the group stages.
Yeah, I think so, definitely.
But all right, man. So there's the MLS Cup final, and a little bit more after that. But there it is. Edward and Andrew both picked Seattle. I'm riding with Columbus. Obviously, the final is going to be December 12th. I don't know what I believe it's going to be on Fox. At least I would imagine to be on Fox at this point. But I mean, I'm excited. I can't wait to see this game. We'll see either a dynasty in the making or a team that wants to go off and so that there's a reason why they saved the Columbus Crew.
So I like that. We're going to see what happens.
Yeah, that's actually...
All right, man. Ooh. So, Andrew, just you want to tell the people where they can find you?
Yo, you guys can find me at Kicking It With Drew SC on YouTube.com. And you guys can find me on this podcast here sporadically. And that's pretty much it.
And there you have it, man. So, thank you for your time. And
thanks, bro.
Can't wait to have you for some more MLS content.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I'm gonna have to bone up just to match up with y'all.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's not an understatement.
Yeah.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Take it easy, bro.
Peace.
Christmas is right around the corner. Make your favorite sports fans Christmas great by shopping at Fanatics.com. Fanatics has a wide variety of apparel and memorabilia of teams all across all sports, from the NFL to NASCAR, and of course, the beautiful game of soccer. So go to Fanatics.com, your one-stop shop for all things sports.
Yeah.
All right, Edward, three up, three down. And today's topic could also fuel us for future bets. And that is going to be bands and music groups, bands/music groups. So obviously, when you think of bands, usually when I hear band, I think of a rock band. So I use music groups just to cover our bases to let you know that pop groups are also part of this thing. So,
all right.
So I'm sure you, me, and Spencer are going to be taking very deep, paying attention to the bottom threes,
yeah,
at least for sure, for future references.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and give you Spencer's bottom three.
All right.
Because I'm sure you're trying to still figure out your bottom three.
Yeah.
So at number three, he has Train. Which obviously, if you guys
see it, I mean,
if you don't, for those who don't know Train, obviously, they're like, Hey Soul Sister
or Marry Me.
Oh yeah, he had that one. Or Drops of Jupiter.
Oh yeah, Drops of Jupiter.
Tammy.
That was a good song.
But he's got some good. You know, it's funny. So just having a little flashback, the NBA Finals, Toronto and Golden State, which I believe was the last one before the whole COVID thing. So for Toronto, obviously, because Toronto had to sing, they had the national anthem for America, but they also had the Canadian national anthem. So this was like, I was so electric from this. So the lead singer Train sang the national anthem. I was like, oh my God, that's huge. And then the singer for the national anthem of Canada was Sarah McLachlan.
What?
I was like, this is the best day ever for me.
That's crazy. Wow. Just wow.
I mean, it made my day. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah, I know. Shit.
But yeah, so Train is number three. Number two is Dave Matthews Band, which I don't blame you. I mean, this is the official band of all douchebags in the world.
Yeah. Friggin' Andy Bernard right there.
No hits.
I said no hits. And it was fucking, I remember reading the caption, said the ants go marching or some bullshit.
I just don't. I don't know. I don't really listen to Dave Matthews Band, to be honest. And then his number one is Hanson. The popular 90s young. This was the Jonas Brothers before the Jonas Brothers.
Or even way before that.
Was there other Jonas Brothers, any other groups besides Hanson that was similar to the Jonas Brothers?
Bear with me on this one. I mean, I could say Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
No.
Because
they were brothers.
Okay. Then
that's why they were called Hanson, because they're the Hanson brothers.
Were they like Hanson, and Hanson?
Because they were brothers.
Yeah. Oh, Dios mío. You woke up Robo with that one. He's about to fart again.
Yeah, he went back to sleep anyways. But yeah, so that is Spencer's bottom three. What are your thoughts on? It's pretty good.
That's a pretty good one. I'll give him that.
All right, man. You want me to go or you want to go first?
let's go with you. I'm still trying to figure
all
out
right.
My bottom three.
So number three, I'm going to have the Jonas Brothers. I like Nick Jonas, but I don't like the Jonas Brothers.
wait. Okay. All right. Go.
Yeah, I mean, I like Nick Jonas. I mean, but I just don't like the Jonas Brothers. I mean,
in general,
I just don't like
even that Daddy Yankee song when they came out in there.
Were they in the Daddy Yankee song?
Yeah, Runaway.
Could have fooled me because I did not pay attention to that. Number two. This is where it gets really tricky. But number two is Dave Matthews Band. I don't like Dave Matthews Band at all.
The
douchery of the Dave Matthews Band. I
mean, we may all have that, dude. Do you know what the sad part is? I still remember Andy Dwyer from Parks and Recreation. He's a Dave Matthews Band fan.
I can believe it.
Yeah, that's like, because he speculated, or he said something about Dave Matthews Band, but he was like, oh, something about the Dave Matthews Band concert or something. Like that. But he was excited about it. And I was like, damn it, Andy, no.
And then my number one is One Direction.
Wow. Good one. I didn't think of that one.
I just can't, man. Like,
I don't even know any of their songs, honestly. So for all you people out there who know who these people are.
The reason why I know about One Direction is because obviously in the Marine Corps, you end up listening to a wide variety of music. And there was one person. Yeah. I mean, there's guys that listen to country music. You got guys that listen to rock, metal, rap. It's a wide variety. Obviously, you have people different parts of the world, of the country.
Right.
Some, you could say for the world as well, that come in to work together. And then obviously the music taste is different. So we have one sergeant that would avoid us from picking music for work. So what he would do was just play the top 40. And obviously the top 40 at that time was a lot of One Direction.
Fuck me. And sideways.
He will not skip it. He did not skip it at all. So we had to sit there and listen to One Direction.
Fuck, bro.
And
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. If you want to talk about cruel and unusual punishment, I don't know. I don't know about any as cruel as that is, but yeah. So reiterate my bottom three.
Sorry.
It is Jonas Brothers at number three, Dave Matthews Band at number two, and then One Direction at number one.
All right. Damn, you actually picked some good ones, and I don't want to just copy. You know what I mean?
I mean, Dave Matthews Band is a given.
Yeah, I think I may actually have to go with you on that one. So I guess that could be my number three.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, Dave Matthews Band, number three. I guess you could say, because, like, I was a big, how do I say this? I guess my number three, not my number two, not my number one, but because of, I guess you could say I used to listen to that douchebaggy music with like John Mayer and shit.
Hey, John Mayer is a god, man. Don't leave that man alone.
Okay, well, I don't know where that came from.
Keep on waiting.
Your body.
It is a wonderland.
Yeah, you fucking get lost in there and never come out.
All I just right, like guys. how Andy got like so into that song.
Oh yeah, your body is the way home.
He did the whispering part.
Yeah, I was like, no, fuck is this? I was like, Jesus. All right. So
actually, I got a fun story about that song. So in The Office, they asked John Mayer, "Can we use your song for an episode?" And he thought that they were gonna make fun of it, so he said no because everybody else makes fun of it. But then they said, "No, we want the Michael Scott and Andy to sing it for karaoke." And then he was like, "Okay, I'll do it, but you got to give me a Dundee." So he got a Dundee.
Wow! Oh wow!
So fun fact.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so you might agree with me in this one, maybe not. Maybe you are going to. So it's kind of a both. I like him and I hate him kind of shit, but only because of the one singer. Only because of the one singer. Blink-182.
What?
Hear me out. It's just, I can't handle the guy with a fucking
the voice inside my head.
Like, he's so nasally, bro. And it's fucked up because all the small things is sung by that guy. And it's one of the popular songs. But it always aggravated me.
So you don't like Tom DeLonge?
No, not Tom.
But that's Tom DeLonge.
I know. Not Tom. That's what I'm saying. Not Tom. I don't like Tom. But I like, for example, The Rock Show. The Rock Show, that's one of my favorite songs from Blink-182. That's why they're in my two. Because it's like, God. It's like, especially like, when he...
So you like the Blink-182 songs where Mark Hoppus is singing?
Yes.
But you don't like Tom DeLonge?
No. It's just the voice is so annoying and aggravating.
Yeah, that is... Bro, you know the reason why I like Angels and Airwaves is because of Tom DeLonge?
No.
Wow.
Something
I wonder what Spencer... Me. I wonder how Spencer's going to feel when he hears this.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like Blink-182 was a big part of the 90s. I mean,
no, it is. I understand that. That's why I said it's like a hit or miss with thing with me. But it's like, it's just the voice is so...
So you just didn't like Tom DeLonge. So,
yeah,
so you're telling me...
And like I said, it was one of the big songs. All the Small Things was a big song and it came out a lot everywhere else. But it was like, Damn It, The Rock Show. Those are the songs that I like from Blink-182. I mean, I like all the Small Things, you know, but it's just... Or even
so you like What's My Age Again? You like
What's My Age Again? That's a hell of a song.
Basically anything that Mark Hopp is saying.
Yeah, yeah.
That is okay. I mean,
you didn't think about it. You didn't.
I'm just like way, I'm so
you?
Like I'm just you're
flabbergasted. I'm can tell.
Speechless right now because I mean
you're more flabbergasted than when Robo did that fart. Yeah,
yeah. This is I just can't see anybody.
He's made me all these years, ladies. And
I just
gentlemen.
I just can't see anybody not like Blink-182. I mean. Really? I just can't. A lot of people like Blink-182.
I know. They do. And don't get me wrong. I played on Rock Band or whatever the hell, Guitar Hero, whatever. All the small things.
You really don't like Tom DeLonge's voice?
Dude, I just got chills singing that shit on the back of my neck.
All right.
My number one song, or my number one band that is my top one of bottom, Megadeth. I can't even.
Is it like just too hardcore for you? Or?
I guess so. It's just, well, I can listen to Bullet for My Valentine. I can listen to Slayer. I can listen to Metallica.
So it's just Megadeth is just too. Is it just too much for you?
I guess so. I guess that's probably the line between heavy metal and heavy metal. Just. Right there.
I was gonna say Slayer gets pretty intense, man.
Nah, but Slayer, I can actually understand some of this shit.
Or Pantera?
Pantera, I can do Pantera.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess I can see that. All right, man. So Spencer's top three, and man, do I like this. So at number three, well, I thought I corrected that. I guess not. All right. At number three, he has Jimi Hendrix and the Band of Gypsies. That's the actual number three. I guess I didn't. Fix that one. When I did fix it, but I just didn't send this one. But yeah, so Jimi Hendrix and the Band of Gypsies, which I mean, Jimi Hendrix, man, that guy yep. can rock. So I mean, yeah, it was a good classic, really good one. No, you want me to read the text message?
No.
Let's see.
Let's see.
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix and the Gypsies was number three.
Okay. Herfa Durfa, that's my bad.
All right.
Smash my head in.
Number two, Frankie Beverly and Maze. Now, I don't know if you...
I've not heard of it.
This is basically like Black Family Cookout. Like you're playing some Frankie Beverly and Maze.
Okay.
You've never heard any Frankie Beverly?
No, I never have. I'll listen to them afterwards.
No, we'll play some right now. I'm telling you, man, it's like straight up like it's literally like straight up like, oh, we're at the cookout, man. We're really about to do this. Let's see. Yeah, so basically family cookout.
Yeah.
There's family cookout necessities here. All right. And number one, he has Funkadelic.
Not bad.
Have you heard of this band?
I've heard of them.
Okay. But yeah, so because I was telling Spencer about that, I was like, dang, dude, you have like your top two is literally
family cookout.
Like this is what you're jamming to in the cookout.
Oh man.
Yeah, man. It's a good times. All right, man. So do you want to go first with the top three or you want me to go first?
Go first.
All right. Number three. Man, this is going to be hard to pick like three top bands, but all right. So I got to put them. I mean, I have to. This was a big part of growing up for me. and that is Linkin Park.
Right, right. Good one.
I think this is where I got to get that good combination of some rap and some rock in there. It was just different. I liked their sound. I mean, Hybrid Theory was really what got me, and then Meteora was just even better of an album. Kind of went a little poppy near the end, and obviously Chester Benefield obviously passed away.
Yeah.
But Linkin Park was definitely, like, I think at least people around our age could definitely say that they listened to a lot of Linkin Park.
And they still do
today. And they still do. So yeah, Linkin Park is number three. Number two, and I mean, I have to say this group, because if I don't, I think a lot of people are going to be like, what the fuck, bro? Number two, I have NWA.
Nice.
So once again, music groups, so not just bands. So music groups and the NWA, I mean, they definitely changed the rap culture for what it is, you know? So, like, obviously Ice Cube, one of my favorite rappers of all time. So it was, a lot of those guys were, I mean, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, DJ Yella, MC Ren, and of course Ice Cube. I mean, that it was such, like, I love majority of their songs. NWA is definitely and it's crazy enough that it still applies today, in my opinion, with NWA. So NWA is my number two. And then number one for me, and I mean, I'm pretty sure you know what my favorite band of all time is. At least people that know me pretty well know what my favorite band is of all time, and that is Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
They're just, I don't know, the first time I heard them, which was Bad Country, was their album.
Mm-hmm.
I loved every second of it, and it's mainly just because of Rev, the drummer, who also passed away. I mean, he just had this unique sound with his drum, and then with the guitar of with the lead guitar of Sinister Gates, bro, man, it was just crazy how well this band performed. Fun story, when they were going to be here in Houston for a tour with Metallica, and I really wanted to go. Like, I really wanted to go, because any chance I can see Avenged Sevenfold, I will take it. Couldn't go because I had to work an Astros game. And this is when I was in the grounds crew. And at that, the Astros were playing the Angels, the Anaheim Angels, which, fun fact, most of the guys from Avenged Sevenfold are big Anaheim Angels fans. And I remember I was working on the field, and I see some guy, like, tatted up, all black, talking to one of the coaches from the Anaheim Angels. And I kind of looked, and I was like, you know what? That kind of looks like Zachy Vengeance. But, you know, I was like, I'm probably just being crazy. And then I keep going, and I look up, and I'm like, holy shit, no, that's Zachy Vengeance. That's the rhythm guitar player for Avenged Sevenfold. And I remember just, like, being in awe, because I'm like, oh, man, I kind of want to, like, talk to him or take it. Obviously, I had to be professional because I'm working. But, man, was I tempted. And then I was like, because I found it weird that it was Zachy Vengeance. So it turns out Avenged Sevenfold was at the Astros game. They were sitting in the first level, because they were watching the Anaheim Angels play. They lost that game, by the way. The Anaheim Angels lost that game, by the way. But it was just so crazy, because I was like, one of my favorite band of all time is here in Minute Maid Park, and I did nothing. And then the next day, they went to go perform in the concert, which I didn't get to go. But my friend Vanessa did, so congrats to her.
Well, there you go.
But yeah, so to reiterate, my top three, Linkin Park is number three, number two is NWA, and number one is Avenged Sevenfold.
All right, good ones. I guess I have to kind of follow on your deal here. My number three, okay, so the reason, I don't know why, it's just the song really got to me, pumps me up. That one, they literally to me were like a one hit wonder, but I know they have good shit on the side too. Blackstreet. No Diggity.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So that song pumps me up a lot. And I have it in my workout playlist. I have that thing sometimes playing in the morning when I'm like, and then I'll just pop it up and I'm like, oh. I was like, all right, No Diggity. I was like, ain't no shit. So, you know, Blackstreet, they kind of opened my mind up. Just listening to that one song and opened up my mind to, like, other R&B groups and rap groups and stuff like that, and it just, you know, and that's where I get a lot of my music from. I guess you could say that's where my taste.
My favorite part of No Diggity is just the ayo 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 ayo, which I did horribly.
Yes, you did. I mean, Oh, it was perfect. It was good. Don't worry, bro. I got you. Yeah, that was amazing.
Shut the fuck up, man.
All right. So my number two is, it kind of goes with kind of what you went with Linkin Park. I want to say Chevelle.
Okay.
Chevelle, because I mean, I listened to that when I was getting out of high school, and then like, it was a part of me when I was working like at, you know, GameStop, Game Crazy, all that shit. And it was, I got to liking, you know, like that kind of rock brought me over to like Breaking Benjamin, Rise Again. So like, it just opened up a lot of doors to that type of music. I wasn't really big on rock besides Creed and Nickelback back in high school, because that's the only thing that I actually listened to when it was.
Like, I like how none of our bottom threes consisted of Creed and Nickelback.
That's a secret guilty pleasure,
yeah,
for both of us. So that's why it's not going to consist of a bottom three. All right. So, and I guess my top, it would have to be Metallica.
Okay.
My number one, Metallica. Okay. I mean, dude, one, the first time I heard one was in Guitar Hero. And ever since then, I actually liked that song. As hard as that bitch was to play on hard and expert, that shit was hard. But
it's funny too, because it's one of those things that no one like gets why this song is like at like that high. Because it's like, it takes a while to unlock that song.
Yeah.
And so, and you're like, end. You're just playing it. And you're like, this, if you don't know it, one, yeah, you're just, you know, like,
how long that shit is.
And then,
it's darkness imprisoning me. All that I see, absolutely.
No, yeah. So, yeah, Metallica's a...
So, yeah.
That's a great band, man.
And that's the thing. They'd open up a lot more to those metal bands and stuff, and a lot of that genre. And I could actually understand it. And like I said, one was... I don't know if you told me or if my history professor told me from college. It was like that Johnny Got His Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Metallica, they read that book and they based it off of that book, because it's literally that verse right there is off of that book, because the whole book is the dude stepped in a bomb and he basically blew out, all his senses were gone. So he was lost limbs and everything.
He couldn't speak. Yeah. They made a movie off of it.
Yeah.
Too.
So it's like, you know, it just kind of, it kind of opens up to a lot more than just another different kind of music. It just, and there's different doors where you can explore. And I guess that's why Metallica, and then same thing, Master of Puppets, Enter Sandman, you know, I was just...
If you ever have like a get pump playlist or like a gym playlist, I feel like you have to have Metallica.
Yeah,
like,
I do.
Like, and if you don't have Metallica, then you're not getting pumped up, right?
Sadly, okay, let me put this way. I have a lot of rock, but it's just songs here and there. But most of my stuff is Spanish. It's a lot of reggaeton.
No. I mean, but I'm just saying, if you have like a workout playlist, because like,
you gotta have Metallica in there.
Yeah, no, for sure. Especially if you're like doing anything like weights. Like if you're doing anything like full intensity, like I can get cardio if you want something like a little bit, like
Ride the Lightning,
little rhythm into it, like where you want to get like a nice pace. Mm-hmm. Maybe rock isn't it. But if you're like, you know, you're going out there and you're popping, you're getting some squats in, or
if you want to do like the controlled, I usually do that. Now, if you want to get the control pump, I usually do Nothing Else Matters. And then finally, after like the second set of workout, not by the third set, that's when you hear the guitar solo. So that's when you're just like, yeah, you go heavy, you go hard. So that's what I do when he goes, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I'm already pumped at that point.
So. All right. So to reiterate the top threes of ours, Spencer has Jimi Hendrix and the Band of Gypsies at number three, Frankie Beverly and Maze at number two, and Funkadelic at number one. I have Linkin Park at number three. Number two, I have NWA. And number one, I have Avenged Sevenfold. And then Edward, you have?
I have Blackstreet for my number three. Number two, I have Chevelle. And number one, I have Metallica.
All right, man. So that's the show. I feel like we had a pretty good one, man. Really excited for this weekend, obviously, Liga MX final and the MLS Cup final. Plus, it's my birthday. My birthday will be on the 12th. So hopefully Real Madrid can make me feel a little bit special about my birthday. Especially,
I think Atlético Madrid gave you the gift of scoring 5 goals.
Who?
Atlético Madrid.
No, fuck that.
Sure. I bet you they want to give you that gift.
No, I'd rather
they'll
not.
Give it to you with all their heart.
5 own goals. I'll take that.
Nah, not that one. No.
But yeah, so obviously because on December 12th, I'll be turning 29. So I'll be going into my final year of my 20s. And apparently this is where I'm supposed to be freaking out when I'm about to turn 30. I haven't experienced that yet. So I feel pretty good about it. But anyways, so obviously a really good weekend. You have 2 championships being lifted this weekend. So really excited for that. All right, man. So shout out to Unhinged Sports Network. Once again, that is the network that we're a part of. Make sure you guys check out unhingedsn.com so you guys can check out all the great podcasts that they have on their site. And to be up to date, they constantly let you know when shows are being on their Twitter page at Network Unhinged. So once again, that's at Network Unhinged on Twitter. That is Unhinged Sports Network. Also, shout out to Alejandro Gomez, the creator of the Insert Name FC logo, which we both love completely. It's a great logo. And I'm so grateful that Alejandro Gomez made this awesome logo for us. And if you guys are looking to get a logo created or maybe just not sure how to get what you want in a logo, then shout out, hit her up, our friend Alejandro Gomez. And you can hit her up on Instagram at Alec Gomez Graphics. Once again, that's at Alec Gomez Graphics. It is also in descriptions of this of our podcast. Each episode you can see right there. So you guys can go ahead and, you know, copy and paste it and, you know, go ahead and contact her and ask her that you want a logo done. And of course, shout out to our producer, our beat maker, our Chick-fil-A player of the year.
Yeah.
Roosevelt Spencer. I mean, this guy puts in a lot of work for us, man. He promotes the fuck out of us too. So
yeah.
I mean, you know,
yeah,
if you're probably in the barbershop right now and you're listening to us because Spencer made you listen to us, thank you.
Thank you guys.
You guys are probably like, who the fuck are these guys? Anyway.
Who the fuck are y'all?
Does Spencer like
live in Boston? No, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know about the people of Alabama, but I'm pretty sure they don't have Boston accents in Alabama.
or
Georgia. I know Spencer travels fairly well.
Okay.
So, but what the fuck, man? Anyways, but if you guys want a collab with him, obviously, if you guys hear our intro and our outros, you know this guy dropped some major fire for us. So if you guys want to do a collab with him, follow him on Instagram at thatguydope. Once again, it's at thatguydope. So there is another great episode. I feel like we knocked out a lot of stuff.
Hell yeah.
Talked a lot of stuff. But yeah, so that is the show. And catch you guys next week. And hopefully Spencer's going to be the one singing and not me, the outro.
Or both. Who knows? You're kind of hoping for no tie, huh?
We got to keep the streak alive, man. There's got to be a winner and a loser.
Oh, shit. You hear that, Spence? You hear that? There's got to be a winner and a loser. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
There's got to be a winner or a loser. I don't want you to pick the song. Especially after you're mad at me about the Frozen song. So, anyways.
You see my smile?
So, that's the show, man. Thank you guys for listening. I know I've said this like multiple times in this few minutes of it. But thanks for listening. And catch us next week for episode 15. It's crazy like that we're actually reaching episode 15. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Which is my favorite number.
Yeah, right. There you go.
So it's the Hector episode.
The Hector episode. There you go.
We can look at my career of 1.5 goals.
Yeah. Woo.
And one that Edward stole for me.
Shortest episode ever.
Anyways, so once again, thank you for everybody. And hope you guys catch us next week for another good episode.
All right, take care, guys. Rock with